interesting, we will chashai, we'll do a few things. One more day at Mizmor Nun before we go to Mizmor Nun Aleph. And one more day at Mizmor Nun. So let's start now over here on page 456. 456, Pasuk Chav Gimel. We learned this yesterday. We learned this over the word the sum. Very fascinating girsa issue. The sum. So we learned yesterday, we learned the Pshut Shal Mikra is Zaveach Toida Yecha Be'da Nini. A person, the ultimate sacrifice that a person can bring to Hashem that will give Hashem honor is by confessing one's sins. Is to be Toida, is Vidui. And such a person, the sum derech, then the number two, a person who sum derech, which means his sum literally means to set. He sets out for himself a derech in life. In other words, he plans. A person who plans his life, not a person who just lives a life of impulse, not a person who just, you know, just what wakes up in the morning and just whatever comes his way, that's how he lives. That's not a mahalik. Has to be the sum. A person who plans to live every day, have a purpose in every single day. That type of person, Arenu, I will show him the Yesha Elokim. So we learned yesterday, Maimer Chazal, and the Gemara says, Al Tikre Sum Ela Shum. What's the difference? The word sum means to set out. Don't learn to set, but learn to evaluate. Shum with the shin means to appraise, to make an appraisal, an evaluation. What does it mean? What do you mean to make an evaluation? It means to make calculations. It's very much the same idea. It's the same idea, it's just, you know, which altigre sum to set, but to calculate, to make an assessment. And what does that mean? It means the Gemara gave an example. It told us about a student who would slug up the Rebbe's shir every single day. Whatever the Rebbe say, he would show the Rebbe, you don't know what you're talking about. It says over here, Gemara here, Taisus here, Rishon here. And he did this every single day. But when the time came, when people from the public, from the outside, came to the shir, then he didn't say it. Then because he was afraid that if the Rebbe would not know the answer, since there are people here outside from the public that are present, it will be an embarrassment for the Rebbe. So he was clever. He was clever not to talk when it resolved in causing the Rebbe harm. Okay, now I'll give you a mushel. I'll give you a mashal to this. I met with this Siddur Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner, I'm not sure. I remember who, giving a share for the boys, and was talking about the Hashkaf of the Holocaust. Okay, you go back 50 years, that was on everyone's mind. And he was telling these boys, he was telling these young teenage boys, like a hashkafa for the Holocaust, and then in walked in for mincha, a Holocaust survivor. So he basically stopped the shir. Like, I'm telling you, this person of the Holocaust survivor. What I'm going to say, I don't have to explain. For him, he would obviously give him a lot of pain and grief, what he was saying, because he lived through it. And these boys here who didn't live through it, don't know from nothing, he needs to tell them what they need to hear, in his opinion. Okay, in his opinion, he needs them to hear what they need to hear. But the Holocaust survivor should not hear these things, because he's in a different league. He's a survivor, he suffered, he doesn't need to hear this. And Adraba, what I'm saying for him, it would be damaging. It would just cause him pain. And maybe he would totally disagree with Rav Chutner also, being that he was there. Rav Chutner, whatever his reasons were, he felt that this shir is only for teenagers that never experienced the Holocaust. A Holocaust survivor is not up there, not for them. And you have to know you have to know who your audience. I also now vaguely remember, as I'm saying this, Rav Herschel is also a student of Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter once said that he was once was giving a shiur about the Holocaust, and he was explaining different why did the Holocaust. I don't remember exactly. He said something about the Holocaust, and there was a person who also said, I came to Mincha, happened to walk in, and after the shiur was over, he came up to him and said to him, "You don't know what you're talking about." I was there, and don't start making calculations. The gzeira, the horror of what happened, is something that cannot possibly be explained in any shape or form. And how dare you try to give a mahalich in what happened? That's exactly what it says from this chazal. The al tigre sum ela sham. Make a calculation. Yeah.
On that note, but we have to say to the young people that explain, because I was a witness in Boravar. I went to a Shiva call, and the husband was sitting the Shiva for the ride, and there was a mix of like me and Hasidic boys, young Hasidic with this. And the husband described how he went through the Holocaust. Everybody was listening like this. And how his wife, how he suffered, and they get married, and how was put in the concentration camps. When he finished, one of these Hasidic guys asked him, so there was no mikvah?
No mikvah? No mikvah in Auschwitz. There was no mikvah in Auschwitz.
Yesterday,
they didn't go to the mikvah.
This is what he's worried. Yeah.
They arrested
ignorance. Centurion. Ignorance.
Back,
ignorance. Yeah.
And the Torah cards it.
Yeah.
Guy who was accused of going to visit was it Jenin or Ramallah?
Jenin.
He was arrested. He must have run to Israel. He came back. They arrested him. They took him to jail. He appealed to the judge that he has to go to the mikveh. They should take him to the mikveh because
it's not a before he goes to the mikveh.
So, what did the judge say? No. Okay, good.
Okay,
Baruch Hashem, the judge had seichel. It's ignorance. Listen, I'm just as guilty. I'm just as guilty, and I think many people are guilty. 99% of a lot of things, stereotypes and Sinas chinam, it's just plain, simple ignorance, total ignorance of the facts. I told you one time there was a person over here. I met him. I hope he's still alive. I haven't seen him in a little while. He's an elderly person, and you know he's very very with it, and they are very very wealthy, and he does business with Satmar Hasidim. And that person is a very, very big Zionist, a real Zionist, a real believer. they don't make these people anymore. These type of people don't really exist. These type of the real Zionists. And I was friendly with him a little bit, and I said, I don't say how you do business with Satmar. They're like mamish, the 180 degrees from you. So he says to me, yeah, I know. I try not to talk to them about this, but one thing I know. Their attitude and their hashkafa is all built on pure ignorance. Pure ignorance. They don't know anything. They just don't even know the aleph base. There's no one to talk to. You can't have a conversation with a person about hashkafa unless they know the facts. So then you can talk about this. We've been there together. We all experienced this. Now we can talk about how you want to, from a religious perspective, how you want to look at it. But if you don't even know the aleph beis, you don't even know how to read, you don't even know anything, like literally nothing. There's no one to talk to. There's no one to talk to. It's even worse than that. They make up things. It's a horrible thing, and it's true in everything in life, and I'm guilty of it no less than anyone else, is Ignorance, ignorance, ignorance. Even you talk to people, talk, it's amazing. People talk about the pandemic.
What?
The pandemic, COVID. People say a lot of things. They don't know the facts. They don't, the ignorance is just beyond belief. Beyond belief. Even the most basic things, people are dying and people are sick and statistics and this and that. Both ways. Things that are you know, the conspiracy theories and the people, the anti-conspiracy theories. There's truth in both. When you know the facts. There are hard facts. There are people that are conspiracy theorists, the Mishagoyim. They don't know what they're talking about. There are hard facts that you can't deny the facts. And then there are people, there are elements in people that people accuse of being conspiracy theorists, which you can't just push them away. There are hard, solid facts. The whole country, everything is like that. Ignorance, ignorance, ignorance is the name of the game. Okay, now let's go further over here. We are over here. This concept is a person house must know how to yisoid this. Number one is he has to plan. I think the word over here, the difference between the perish of some versus the perish of shum, some means to plan ahead. Some means you make for yourself, plot a plan in life. What do you want to do with life? What career choice do you want to make? Shum means use your brain, have some seichel. Is that you find yourself today in a situation, and maybe today you should do things differently because the circumstances of today are different than yesterday, and maybe you should just make a calculation. Today might not be a good day to ask the rabbi a question when in the audience are people that were never here before, and the rabbi may be embarrassed, and it's not a good idea today to embarrass the rabbi. It's like even if you have a child, you know, sometimes you ever see a rabbi, sometimes they have a evaluation in college. I used to teach as an adjunct in college. So every semester they would come to observe me. Okay, I wonder if they do that still today. Certainly they probably, people, anyone who is, anyone who is black or, you know, one of the letters of the alphabet, for sure today they probably don't observe because that would be, you know, these people, they're like, you know, they don't need to be observed. They're like, God's, you can't say anymore God's gift to this world because they don't believe in God, but they're the supreme leaders. They're the supreme leaders of the universe. Anyone that's a member of one of the letters of the alphabet, I don't know which one, which order, which order. There's a new order of the alphabet. All the letters are there, just different order. It begins with L.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't have 72 letters.
Rabbi, isn't that...
Right, right. Excellent. Even though he knows it because he's not holding in the sugya.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You
have to know when to ask. So when I used to teach, they would come observe me. All different types of observers. He once came, Rudinsky, the one who he davened here in the shul, he teaches in Brooklyn College. So he was the easiest. He just came and just walked in for 5 minutes. What's the expression? Amcha came to observe me. But I had some tough people come to watch me. I had some tough guy. I remember a guy in there. What was his name? Whatever. They gave me the business. Some tough people. So on the days when you see your professor being observed by one of the people of the department, maybe you should not go and ask questions in that class, or don't ask the teacher a difficult question because you'll end up embarrassing the professor, and then the observer is going to give him a hard time. I remember sometimes they went to observe, they had a child, where to put their child in the yeshiva. I told this many times, which yeshiva to put their child, and they went to go listen to a sample, to listen in the class. They sat in on the class, the parents, to see if this school is the right school for their child. And they were very impressed with the Rebbe. A child asked the Rebbe, the Rebbe asked the class a question, and he called upon one of the students to give an answer, and the student gave a totally wrong answer, and the Rebbe said, that is an excellent answer for a different question. Instead of saying to the child, you're wrong, you idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. The teacher says, excellent answer for a different question. Okay? Good morning. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf. So this is now. Now look at the Mincha Shai. The Mincha Shai, oh, here are the pages as follows. The Mincha Shai, Pasuk Chav Gimel says, V'som derech, kamo tohu behai tevois. So look what he writes over. Look at this expression. Kamo tohu. This is a very common mistake. A page, on page 4, 5, 6, Mincha Shai, the very bottom. Page 4, 5, 6, on the very, very bottom, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Yicha b'donani, okay, whatever, let's go to the next words. V'som, the second line. V'som derech. Mincha Shai. Kama tohu b'hai tevoisa kama. Wow, he says. The people, the printers out there, or the people who do this, boy, did they blow it. People have made such horrible mistakes regarding this word. Dekaru v'som b'shin yimonis. They read it wrongly with a shin. In our text, we have it the way that he says is correct. The sum, with a sin, he says. But unfortunately, in many editions of Sefer Tehillim, it says with a shin, with a shin yimol, b'shin yimonis. V'atu l'kulu nuschoi, and they've caused there to be a mistake. L'kulu nuschoi, I don't know what that means exactly. Umistayim iman. I'll prove to you that I'm right. I'll prove to you that the correct girsa should be with a sin, the sum, to set out on a good life. Mimai de ashchu b'vayikarabah parashat sav. Rabbi Yanai. V'shom ksiv. D'shoyem orche sagi shovei. Perush. Okay, over there it says v'shom. Over there, Rabbi Yanai, this is a medrash. And the medrash says v'shom with a shin, which means d'shoyem orche sagi shovei. I don't even know what that means, perish. Hashom orchoisav b'derech eretz harbe shoveh. I think what it means, a person who evaluates his life, a person who evaluates his way, is worth a lot of money. A person who evaluates, calculates every action that he does, such a person or such a conduct is worth a lot. It will save the person a lot of aggravation in the future. Person carefully calculates his behavior. V'doresh, and how do you know this? V'doresh, v'shom, miloshoin shumas bestin. It means evaluation, appraisal. The word shom, shin, means evaluation. Shu b'shin yimonis. A shin yimonis means to evaluate. So a human being who thinks before he talks, who thinks before he acts, this person is a good person. He's worth this conduct is extremely valuable. He will save himself from a lot of suffering. The kush to the milsa, the korinon besin smallest. Now, even though that's the drush, and as, we learned this yesterday in the Gemara. We read this yesterday in the source in the Bavli. And even though this concept that a person should make an evaluation, that's a very nice homiletic drosha on this word, but that's not the way it's spelled. The way it's spelled, the way it is meant, the tradition, the way it's correctly pronounced in Tehillim is with a sin, which does not mean to evaluate, but it means to set out. Umedrash agadu hu al derech b'derech al tikrei. Don't read it the way it was meant to be read. V'som ela v'shom. Here's what we learned yesterday in the Gemara itself, the Vavakam, the Moed Katan. Call ha shom, anyone that evaluates his behavior, it says in the pasuk v'som with a sin derech arenu b'yesha lukim al tikre v'som ela v'shom kiloimar. Al tigre besin simolis, a sin. The dot is on the left side. Ela besin yimonis. V'hosna b'moed kodi v'yikar rabba mekami hachi darshe leba anbe achrine besin simolis k'de karim. They're also in the Medrash, they're also darshes, other drashes where it has a sin. And therefore it's clear as day from the Bavli and from the Medrash, two places in the Bavli, in Soita and the Moed Katan, and in the Medrash, is that the correct Nusach is sin, Som, and when we darshan Shom, that's a Drush, but it's not the Pshat. And therefore, all of the additions that I've come across that have mistakenly put the letter Shin instead of the letter Sin have done a very great disservice for the Jewish people by corrupting the text. Okay, and he says very, very strong, the Mincha Shai, these terrible mistakes have been corrupted our text.
Especially in Midrash, I see it every day, comparative texts are analyzing, this is missing this states that, and so on.
Now the Afal Gav Dilididi, even though he writes, part of the reason why I like learning some of these things inside is because I love the language. I love how he, you know, some of these Mefarshim, they really get, if you can measure their blood pressure when they're writing this, it'll be off the charts. They get very worked, they become very passionate sometimes, some of the Mefarshim. The Radak is very passionate. Ibn Ezra is very passionate. Mincha Shai is passionate. You don't really see some of the, like Rashi, you don't really sense Rashi. Rashi says very powerful words, but you don't. Rashi is very mekatzer. It's very, very, doesn't waste the word. The later commentators, they like to express themselves. They had more ink. Ink was cheaper in their days. What?
More paper.
They had more paper, more ink. So they had more to write, and they expressed their passion. Hey, the Ravid. Listen, the Ravid had plenty of ink. Like I always tell you, ain loy koyach moyach bekod kodai. He had plenty of ink.
Word.
What?
Maybe he got paid by the word.
Paid by the word. Okay, the Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch is one of the most famous svarim today in the world, and it is accepted by every sect of Klal Yisrael, even the Neturei Karta. Everyone learns Minchas Chinuch. Everyone. It's accepted. The Minchas Chinuch wrote numerous svarim. And you know what happened to all of his svarim? They were all burnt. They were destroyed in a fire. And after all of his life work was destroyed in a fire, he went, I don't know who he went to. He went to one of the Gedolei Hadar basically to cry to him. I spent my whole life learning. I wrote manuscripts galore, and there was a terrible fire, and it destroyed everything. So he said to him, the girl said, do you have anything left? Anything left? I have one little thing from the hundreds of things I had. I had no paper. So I wrote on the margin of a sefer, along the margin in Roshei Teves. A sefer on the chinuch called Minchas Chinuch. So he says, go publish that. And he published it, and the rest is history. It's probably been reprinted only a million times. It was the first sefer back in the early in the 80s, the first sefer that was retypeset with new technology. Today, everything, this art scroll has been, it's all on computer. Everything. Everything today has been redone. Everything. You name it. You can't even find anything that's not classic. I mean, the Talmud Bavli, Oiz Vahadar, there's only one company. There are a few companies. Some of them went out of business already. I mean, everything's been, there's Shulchan, you name, there's nothing that's not been retypeset.
It's amazing that the layout, how they lay it out, everything,
it's amazing. It's amazing. It's unreal.
Big
no, impossible. It's impossible. It's amazing, amazing. And the first new sefer to be laid out with the technology that we use today was the Minchas Chinuch. I remember the early 80s, it was a very big sensation. No one ever saw it. Today we take it for granted. Look, a big deal. What's a bit?
Didn't they split into three?
Right. They only put out one volume at a time. Ma'or put it out. It was a sensation. No one ever saw something like this. Like such clarity, laid out, crisp, computerized, like exactly what you see over here, it was the first sefer, the Minchas Slim. So why did they invest? Of course, it would probably cost them a fortune. Today, desktop tool costs plenty of money today also. Don't worry about it. But then to do the Minchas Slim, isn't it amazing? The Minchas Slim was the first sefer to be published with the new technology. Isn't that amazing? The Minchas Chinuch in the story, he had numerous manuscripts. He held this to be the most insignificant. He wrote on the margin of a sefer in Rosh Tevos. He didn't even write out the whole word. He just wrote a few letters and put some apostrophes and whatever. And that became a legend in Klal Yisrael. Classic that is accepted by the entire Klal Yisrael has opened up the Sefer HaChinuch, the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay, let's go back to that topic over here. So over here he writes over here, you know, printer's errors is a big, big thing. It's a big, big topic over here. The Mishmincha Shai, this is his forte. And he writes over here, I've proven to you that it's supposed to be spelled Visam, not Visham. Visham is a drosha, but the Pshuta Shel Mikra is Visam. And here he gets very passionate. And he says, I'm over here on page 456, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, V'yafal gav, dilididi milsa d'pshitihi. To me, it's simple. V'les basfeka, I have no doubt about this. This is pasha to me. Chazena livarura, I see to it that I must write this and clarify this issue because there are foolish people out there that don't know what they're doing. And I got to make it clear to the world, the emes. The chen kasa bal yifei toyar, he says, I'm not the only one that clarified, there's a person by the name of yifei toyar, I don't know, this is a famous name, famous sefer, yifei toyar, bebrejus rabba, gesundheit, parasha dal, simen tesu, mandaloi sagile bahai, a person that's not satisfied after all this, after I break your head open, and I already tell you, already bring you all the rayas, I'm 100% right, you know what, I'll give you another raya, which today you don't even know what he's talking about. Now you have to go look at the Mesora Gedoyla. Look at the Mesora. I can tell you all the time. We have to spend time on this to learn what is the Mesora Gedoyla. It's no longer printed. They stopped printing this in the all of the classic Svarim. The Mandle Sagile Bahai Liayin B'Mesora Rabisa in the Mesora Gedoyla. The Messier that it's presented, it is given over. Ches Visam Bisin Simolis. There are eight places in Tanakh. Ches, eight places in Tanakh where it says the word sum and not shum. With a sin simolis, the dot is on the top left. Eight places. Zil kire bi mosere sede vayetse. V'dein chad min hoyin, look in parashas vayetze, it's one of them is over there. Okay, I don't know, you have to go look what he means over there, you have to go look through the, you have to go make these calculations. This like this, I don't know what is it called in English. It's like in when you, like a checksum. You know what a checksum is? When you go and you send, when you send someone an email, or when you send any packet, anything on the internet, every time you type in something on the internet, and you send it off to Google, so how does Google know that what you typed, it really got? How does it know? Maybe half of what you typed got lost in the middle. I type something and I send it off to Google and I want a response. How does Google know that every single word that you typed arrived? Maybe it's like the USPS, the US mail. If there's a check in the envelope, there's cash. Someone on the way, then on the way will help themselves to the cash. You know, this happens to you all the time. If you order bottled water, or you order, let's say, a case of fruit juice, comes, one of the bottles is missing. Someone on the way opened up, just took out, they're thirsty. Maybe it was the UPS driver. Maybe it was someone in the factory, or someone in the storage facility, maybe someone from the street. People have this tendency, just, they see a bottle of water, they take one. It's very, very common. It's very common when you have a case of something, especially of drinks, the people on the trucks, somewhere in these, they don't care, they steal, they take for themselves. So when you send a packet of information to, let's say, electronically, this is ancient stuff, this stuff goes back from the 60s, A technique has been designed that there's an algorithm. Everything that you send is turned into a number, it's added up or divided, the different techniques, and it's given a number. And then, like an encryption code, so to speak. They count, yeah, something like that. They count the words, the letters, there are different techniques, okay? I used to teach this, I have no recollection of this. You send a packet of information. In addition to sending the information, all the information is calculated and is assigned a specific number. The receiver, the one that receives the information, takes the information, counts it, makes its own calculation, and compares it to the code that was also sent. And if it matches, it knows that it got all of the information. No one stole a bottle of water on the way. And if the number does not match, or if the number doesn't show up, then you know something is wrong. Error. Sorry, it sends a message back. Error. We didn't get something went wrong. There's been some corruption in the information. So this is a concept which is used electronically every single fraction of a second all over the world. When you send information electronically, digitally, you don't just send the information. When you send the information, you don't realize what's going on. Under the hood, there's some type of program where the information you send is converted into, is calculated, and is assigned a code. And on the receiving end, they receive the information, they make the same calculation using a specific protocol, and then they compare their number that they get through their calculation with the number that has been sent along with the packet of information. What? Checksum. A checksum. That's one term. They probably, today everything is so sophisticated, and today everything is very much security, and confidential, and there's encryption. Today it's much more complicated. So that concept is not new. This is not new to the 20th century, for the 1950s. This goes back to the time of Chazal. The Mesoira Gedoyla and the Mesoira Kitana. When you have a word like sum, who's going to know that it's sum with a sin and not sum with a shin? How do we know if it's meant to be spelled with a sin? Maybe you have a letter sin somewhere. You have a word that has a letter sin. Maybe it should be a samach. Who's not to say that when the people they copy by hand on the manuscripts, who's not to say they're not going to make a mistake? Today, when the sofer writes a sefer Torah, he makes on average 30 spelling mistakes. Those are the statistics. The statistics are there are approximately 300 and what's the number? I forgot the number. A little bit more than 304,845. I forgot the exact number, something like that. There are 305,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. So when a Sefer today writes a Sefer Torah, how many spelling mistakes do you think he makes? 30. Average Sefer makes approximately 30 spelling mistakes. So you don't think that in the ancient times they made spelling mistakes when they copied the Tanakh? So what did they do to, so today we have computers. Okay, today there are computers. So the computers go, first of all, according to halach, you have to check it three times. So someone that's very good, they'll check it. Someone that's really experienced, there are people that are geniuses out there that can go through a safe, you have to still do it, even with the computer, you have to do it at least one time. You'll go through, they'll go very quickly, they'll catch 29, but they'll miss one. People today who go and they check, the professionals who know how to check, they go through the whole Sefer Torah very quickly. It's a whole chachmah, there's a whole business behind, the whole chachmah behind this. And they go through it very quickly. They'll catch 29, but they'll miss one. So what do we do today? We have computers. So the computer goes, the computer, we had someone, remember we had over here, Rabbi Michael, he showed us, he demonstrated how you check with the computer. There are three popular companies today who make the software. They're very different. Each piece of software has different advantages. Miles Kostroinas, each software has the one that they like, they use, they need to check. It's very, very complicated. I'll say that I know in Lakewood, it was a terrible busha. Terrible busha. In Lakewood, they a brand new Sefer Torah, and it was the first year they were learning, and they found a spelling mistake. How you talking? They paid $1,000 today it's impossible. No Sefer Torah today is released to the market unless it's first checked by a computer. Well, that's you would think, right? You would think, how could it possibly be? There was a real spelling mistake. I know the Maisa firsthand. A new Sefer Torah, a couple of months later, they were landing, they found the spelling mistake. What? How could it be? Brand new. They must have paid $60,000 for this. Maybe, I don't know, whatever. Maybe, I don't know how expensive it was. Let's say they paid $50,000, for sure at least $50,000 for Sefer Torah. What? They didn't check it? They didn't go through the computer? They paid $1,000. It cost like $1,000, $500, $1,000, different price. That's a lot of work to go to do. You have to photocopy the whole thing. You have to go check, and it gives you all these red flags. You have to check all the things. It's a lot of work, enormous amount of work. Do you know what they found out? It was computer checked. The cipher didn't correct it. The cipher, you can't rely on anyone. The computer spit out a report. Here it is. These are the problems. Some of them are for sure no good. Some of them have to be analyzed by a human being to determine if it's the letter is you know, it's not.
Spacing.
It's the spacing. It's that. It gives you the computer. The computer presents you things that are for sure no good, and it presents you with things that are questionable. Spacing and maybe the letter is not 100% the way it's supposed to be, and the cipher just didn't correct it. Just because you have a computer check, who says that you can rely upon the people, the human beings that are supposed to then go and make the corrections? It's unbelievable. So this is an ancient problem. This is nothing new. So what did Chazal do in ancient times? They had this thing called checksum, like what was invented in the 1940s, 1950s, maybe even earlier than that. Same exact concept. Every time you have a letter in a pasuk that can be easily confused, should it be a samach or a sin? Should it be a bays or a vav? Should it be a what are all the other similar, a whole bunch of similar letters? Should it
be
ayin or an aleph? Should it be a sin, a tav, or a tes? Okay, we don't differentiate between a lot of these letters. They all sound the same to us. And when people are writing very quickly, they can easily make a mistake and they think that it's spelled with a tes and really it's spelled with a tav or aleph ayin. And then when it comes to read with the vowelization, is it a sin or is it a shin? Is it a bays with a dot or is it a vase without a dot? All these type of things. So on the side of the old svarim, there's a checksum. What's the checksum? Misura gedoyla, misura kitana. Two different techniques, which the way you know for sure it's correct is it tells you the number of times the word sum appears in Tanakh that is spelled with a sin is 8 times. Therefore, if you have a situation. That's what it says, with a sin. The whole Tanakh. That's what it says. The Messiah, if you don't believe me, he says, he doesn't, you don't believe me. Look at 1, 2, 3, 4, 4 lines from the bottom. The Messiah, it says there in the Messiah Rabbisa, La'ayin b'Messiah Rabbisa, this is like the checksum of the olden days. The Messiah, it is given over in the Messiah, our tradition, Ches v'sum b'sin smolus. So now, what do you do? So you go with the whole Tanakh, and if you only have eight. Well, today the concordance is new. That's to make it a little bit easier. This is, we're going back. You know, everything happens step by step. So then, if you have a word and you see that it's spelled shin, and it says in the Mishnah there are 8 times that it's supposed to be spelled with a sin, and you go through the entire Tanakh and you only find 7, something is wrong.
The shin and the sin are written differently.
No, the pronunciation. No, not written. No, the Messiah also tells you the pronunciation. No, the Messiah is telling you. The Messiah is telling you. What?
The
It's okay. Okay, the Masorah, it's telling you.
No, I'm saying you can't tell.
No.
You're right.
But the Masorah also tells you the pronunciation. Correct.
But how are you going to look and
look, we have dots now.
On the sins. You don't know if it's a shin or a sin.
The Masorah does know. The Masorah, we have a pasuk. That's what we're looking over here today. We have it in the pasuk. The pasuk over here says, Zaveach toida yichabedoni. How do you read this word? Do you read the word v'sam or do you read the word v'sham? Our pasuk.
No, but it looks the same if it's a shin or a sin in the
correct
on the scroll.
Correct. The Masorah is not only telling you things
how it's going back and forth. But how? Where's the checksum? There's a shin or a sin that says eight. How does it know if it's?
So let me explain. The Masorah does two things. Number one, the correct letter. Is it a beis or a vav? Is it a sin or a samach? Is it a tav or a tes? Number two, how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, but how you pronounce it is not shown in the scroll.
In a chanami, it's not shown in the scroll.
So how can you tell by looking at the scroll?
You can't.
If it's a shin or a sin?
You cannot.
You're right. So what is so?
But the Masorah is not only telling you how it's spelled.
Okay, we're going back and forth.
All right, I'm sorry. The Masorah is telling you how to pronounce the words.
I understand that. That's not an argument. But the question is, how is a checksum going to correct that?
Because if there are eight words in the entire Tanakh that are pronounced,
some doesn't tell you how it's pronounced. It shows you how it's written.
No, the checksum tells you there are two different types of checksums. There's a checksum for spelling and a checksum for pronunciation.
Really?
No, is the checksum telling you the shin sin?
Yeah, yes. Read the words. Look, read the words. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm not making this up. Read the words. 5 lines from the bottom. Go 5. La'ayin lookin b'mesoira rabisa. Okay, it's called the Mesoira Gedoyla. In the old-fashioned Mikros Gedolos, they have on the side the Masorah Gedoyla and the Masorah Ketana. It looks like spaghetti. It looks like someone just dropped a whole bunch of letters and it's almost impossible to make sense out of it. You have to know how to read it. And in the Masorah Gedoyla, it says, Demesir. Demesir means it's presented the tradition. Ches. There are 8 times in Tanakh, this sum, where the word this sum appears, besin simolis, and the pronunciation is sum, not shum. It doesn't have dots in Tanakh, but there's a tradition of how to pronounce it. I'm not making
so
this
how
up.
How often is the checksum? The end of Tanakh? It should be every parsha or every...
It's on every word. Along every pasuk, there's a checksum.
Right, so they should have to go through entire Tanakh.
Yeah, they did.
To find out the error.
Well,
have to do is go through the checksums where...
You don't do this every day. Whenever a question would arise, it is a method of preserving the authenticity of the Masorah.
If the problem arises, you don't have to go through the entire Tanakh.
You do.
No, because if you have a checksum at the end of the project, you just see where the error in the checksum is at the end of that project.
How are you going to know there's an error if there are only 8 times? If you have a question,
because
a dilemma.
You know where those 8 times are.
Oh, but let's say you only have 7. Let's say you have a situation where you have a question. Is it sum or shum?
So you check those 8 times, and those 8 checksums.
So you go through all the times that it says these letters, vav, sin, mem. And now, if you're in your edition, if the Arshul would put vav, it would put the dot on the right side, and now we search the whole Tanakh, and we have these letters. So giving you an example, and we count them, and we only can find 7. 7 of them are spelled sum on the left side, and the Masorah tells us that there's supposed to be 8. It must be that this is wrong. There's a mistake here. This should not be.
Right. One of those eight places where it's the checksum should be, 37, and it's only 36 or
right.
something like that.
So
all you have to do is check those eight places in Tanakh.
Correct.
Not the entire Tanakh. That's the point.
Oh, okay, of course. But how are you going to? Do you know where those places are?
Yes. Yeah. Of course, we know where those places are.
Okay, you have to. You have to go the whole Tanakh to find them.
But we know where the sin is. We know where it is.
Well, today it's been much more computerized. It's much easier. But in ancient times, they didn't have any of this. They needed a technique to guarantee the authenticity of the Mesorah.
The checksum was at the end of the entire Tanakh?
No.
Or at the end of each parsha?
On each pasuk.
Oh, each pasuk.
So each pasuk.
They know which pasukim it is. Okay, anyway.
We have to one day give you examples. Bring in an old-fashioned Tanakh. And show you, and open up any page other than on the old days to be very wide.
At one point in my life, I had to take a cryptographic code because I was developing secret,
codes.
Phone calls from generals, for RCA, Advanced Communications. So I had to take a cryptographic code, it's higher than top security.
Wow.
It's a cryptographic code.
So you're familiar with this?
Different things. Yeah. So I'm familiar with these things.
My question is, for all variations of sum, like here it's the sum, not sum.
I don't know the answer. It seems a vi. It seems with the vav. Everything is very precise in the Mesorah. Everything is super duper precise. I don't know.
The importance is organized. It's each variation of the word.
Okay, believe that one day we're going to spend time with it. We'll go, I'll photocopy some of the old Tanakhs and show you how to read it. In fact, maybe I'm actually going to go to the Beagle Eyes, and I don't think they're going to have it. I once saw they published, someone recently put out a sefer just on this, explaining the whole thing, a beautiful sefer on basically bring back to life the Mesorah Gedolah and the Mesorah Ketana that used to be in the olden days on the side of the page. There are certainly critics of Art School. I'm very upset with them. Why did you not include in this edition the Mesorah Gedolah and Mesorah Ketana? And the reason why is because there's almost no one that understands even knows what it is. And even if you know what it is, it's very hard to read. It's like a code. It's a code. It's written very shorthand, and you have to know, you have to be trained how to actually read to understand what you're reading.
I'm going to know why they don't show the Shmonah in the Siddur. In the back, they show with a line
because
on the top, the Shmonah.
It used
here
to,
they don't show the Shmonah.
Because it used to be people knew the grammatical rules, and just by looking at a word on your own, you can figure it out. It's not very complicated.
They are complicated.
So now...
Well, the simple ones are not complicated. But
okay, there are.
There are some complicated
In the Siddur Vilna that was published by Neturi Karto, they have the El Milaron every single word.
The Oscar Sin also has it.
No, not every single word.
Yes, they do.
Only on the Milael, not on the Milara.
No, because Milara, that's the
default. That's a default.
Yeah.
That's a default.
So by definition, they have everything.
Okay,
anything
but by default.
Milara is marked.
Okay.
Milara and Milael would be a third check.
No, that's a different story. Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. I don't want to say so much time on this. Let's have a sum now. V'dein chad min hoin, over here, v'dein, and this chad min hoin, this is one of the eight times where it's meant to be spelled this sum, not, it's meant to be pronounced the sum, not v'shom. V'chein perishu harav, Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Ibn Ezra, v'rash v'radak, everyone over here on this page, all is consistent learning, the perish is to set. If you translate the word visum to set, obviously they had in their edition, in their tradition, that the pronunciation is a sin, not a shin. To set can only be with a sin. Now, here's something very interesting what he says now. Shuv matzasi, the sefer miturgamon, shoresh, I don't know what this is, sefer miturgamon, shoresh tzadi dalet hei, he says there, visum derech arenu, targumoy, Uman diyitste orcha visha. Now, what does it mean? This is what it says over here in the Targum.
Sorry,
I'm reading the Mincha Shapesh 456.
What?
456 in the Mincha Shai, three lines from the bottom. Uman the yit stay orcha bisha person, the yit stay. Now what is it? What does it mean the word yit? So this is attack what it says in our what it says over here in I think it means to confess, right? It means to confess. Zoveach toida didavach yitzra. That's wrong. What I just said. If you look over here, I don't know what this means. I didn't prepare properly. Pasuk Chav Gimel. If you look in the Targum, Look in the Targum. Pasuk Chav Gimel. We have our Nusach Acher. See, it's amazing how far this goes. So is it the Davach Yitzra Visha Hach Korban Toydesa, a person that sacrifices his Yitzahara Zoyveach? I'm reading the Targum. The Targum Pasuk Chav Gimel, the Davach Yitzra Visha Heich Korban Toydesa Yitzchashavlei Dimoikirli, a person that sacrifices his Yitzahara. Over the Targum over here is saying, in the Targum over here, unfortunately, I didn't prepare the Targum, but he's saying a whole new pshat in the Pasuk. We until now have learned that what it says means the only sacrifice that Hashem wants is for a person to confess. Confess your sins. The way you honor Hashem is by confessing your averos. The animal itself is not so important. The mile of a carbon is that when you bring the carbon, you confess upon the head of the carbon all of your averos. The Targum says in a completely different interpretation of this pasuk, Zoyveach, a person that slaughters his Yetzirah. He says the word itself, Zoyveach, doesn't mean that this is the confession that gives Hashem honor. He says, Didavach Yetzirah, Bisha, a person that slaughters his Yetzirah. This is a carbon. You're offering Hashem your Yetzirah. Heich Kurban Toydesa, this carbon of thanksgiving, I'm not sure what he means by Toydesah, Yischashav Lei is considered the Meikir Li, period. Okay, so this considered a very great honor to Hashem by slaughtering your Yetzirah. You take the Yetzirah, slaughter it, this is a carbon. Who would think like this? Chazal said, La'asalavai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to slaughter the Yetzirah. What, according to this Targum, what is Hashem doing with Yasulavo? It's a carbon. It's a whole new mahalich. David HaMelech says, Libi cholal bikirbi. David HaMelech said that I don't have a Yetzirah. I conquered it. That is the ultimate sacrifice you can give Hashem. Not to give Hashem an animal, but to give him the Yetzirah. Conquer the Yetzirah. That creates a whole new mahalach and bringing an animal as a carbon. When we learn about a carbon, what is the common? We learned this read this inside recently. What is the mahalach bring of a carbon? You say to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, I did an avera, and therefore I deserve to die. But Hashem, you don't want human sacrifices. So you know what? Instead of giving myself, let me give you an animal as a replacement for me. The animal is a living creature. Ze tachazeh. Zu chalifasi, zu tumurasi, ze hatarnagol yelech. When you bring a carbon, I'm giving you what I really should have given you, my life, because I don't deserve to live for what I've done. But instead, I'll give you a living creature. Will be a replacement for me. That's the most common mahalach. If I'm not mistaken, the Targum is saying a completely different mahalach. Bring a carbon. Honor. Oh, that's what we're coming to. That's the next part. We're coming to that in a second. To designate. That's some. Okay, one more. Mordechai, give me one more. Oh, the two versions. Exactly. The two versions. Okay, before we get to that, let's first finish this point. What is the purpose of bringing a carbon to Hashem? According to the Targum, seems to be giving us a new mahalich in the purpose of bringing a sacrifice. An animal is kuloi taiva. An animal is just pure impulse. A human being has a neshama, and the goal is for the Yetzer Toif to overpower the Yetzirah. There's a Yetzirah. The goal is to conquer the Yetzirah. When a person does an Avera, he has allowed the Nefesh Behemios, the Yetzirah, to overpower the Yetzer Toif. So when you bring a carbon, you're taking an animal, because an animal is pure Yetzirah. There is no Yetzer Toif in an animal, pure impulse, and you're slaughtering it. I'm killing it. It is symbolic I am now going to conquer my Yetzer Hara. Again, the pshuta, the simple way most mafarshim learn the purpose of a carbon is, I have sinned. If I have sinned, I don't deserve to live anymore. It's treason. I've committed a crime against the Melech Malchei Hamelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He told me not to do this. And I did it. You violated the law of the land? Hashem told you not to do it, and you don't deserve to live. So a person really should give up his neshama to Hashem because of the crime. I don't want you to do that. But you know what? Bring an animal instead. So you're giving Hashem a living creature, which really is a replacement for what you should give yourself. How that works, I have no idea, but that's what it says. We read this mamish inside a few days ago. The Targum seems to be saying something completely different. When a person brings a carbon, you're bringing an animal, you're bringing the criminal. A person has in himself the Yetzer Toiv and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Toiv didn't do anything bad. The problem with the Yetzer Toiv is that he was conquered by the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara overpowered the Yetzer Toiv. So take the Yetzer Hara and slaughter it. An animal is pure impulse, pure Yetzer Hara. Slaughter the animal, and that's what you're giving to Hashem. That's the first part. Zoveach, kama, what is Zoveach? According to the Targum, it's the slaughter of the Yetzer Hara. Kill it. This is called Toida, is the ultimate carbon that you can bring to Hashem. He calls it over here in a generic sense almost. This Toidisa, this is a thanksgiving or a, I don't know, you want to say confession? I don't know. I do not know. Yechab Donani, this is Yakir, Yokar, to give honor to Hashem. Now, here comes the part that is relevant for us. Vissam Derech, so notice there are two girsois in, the Targum. The first girsa is Udiya Adei, Orcha, Visha, Achamele Bipurkona da Hashem. Or the girsa is Udiyitzde Orcha Visha Achamele Bipurkona da Hashem. Ramachol, you want to try to guess what those two words mean?
To put in place.
That is the. Okay, so let me read you the English translation of it. I have an English translation. Yeah.
Evaluate. That's my guess.
Okay, so I have over here an English translation.
Targum.
Yes. I have it bookmarked. Let me get to the Mizmar 50. Okay, give me. Here we are. 51, 50. Here it is. Okay. He who sacrificed the evil impulse. It will be reckoned to him like a sacrifice of thanksgiving, Kurt. And he honors me. Next. And whoever will remove, he only has one translation, and whoever will remove the evil way, I will show him the redemption of the Lord. So he taiches, he's only giving you one taich. Udi yaade, I guess, means to remove.
No. You said it before.
Now we translate the word with. No. That's the first part of the pasuk. Yitzchashavli d'moikirli, period. Yeah. We want to focus on the translation. Rabbi Cohen is telling us, what is the translation of these two words, the precise translation? Udiyade versus...
It's an idiom. Like in Hebrew, it's biyodoi. It's in his hand, meaning it's in his ability or capacity to do it.
Udiyadei orcha visha. Udiyadei means in his ability. There are two words here. There are two different. You have a choice. The Targum is given.
He has an alternative. He could go to the orcha visha is the evil way. He could go with the good way, or he could go the evil way. That's what he refuses.
Okay. We have here two words. There are two words here. One word, it's very obvious, one word corresponds to shum, and the other is sum. In English, all the Mefarshim have taught us, the word sum means to set out. Shum means to evaluate. Very different interpretations of the pasuk. The problem over here is, it says here, orcha visha. When we translated the pasuk, either with the word sum or the word shum. We did not include in our translation the Aruch HaBisha in evil way. When we said the word derech, when we said the word derech in both of our translations until now, derech means a good way, a good way. A person who sets out in life to follow the derech hayosher, to go out on a good. The way we learned the word v'sa means you set out in your life on a path that is good. You will merit to see the salvation of Hashem. Number two, or the drash was sham, a person who calculates what he does, his derech. He's already on the derech, but he makes calculations not to do the wrong thing. He will merit to see the salvation of Hashem. According to both of those translations, the word derech means a good derech.
Yeah, that's not what he said.
Oh. Targum does not say. The Targum says the word derech means a bad way. And it means a person, one translation, udiyadi means, I think, to take away. If you desist, if you veer off the bad path, get off the bad road. Don't go down this road. A person that is zoyveach, he slaughters the Yetzirah. Oh.
He can see it for what it really is.
What it really is. And he gets off the bad. Evaluation. So either you're going to say it's going to mean you're going to evaluate a bad path and get off it, or you are going to remove yourself from the bad path. So let's assume that the word means the sum means with the sin is you're going to get off the bad path. It means you're going to set yourself away from the bad path, or it means the sham, you see what it is. You evaluate that this is a bad mahalich in life, and memelo, you get off the bad path. So there are two words. The first word is udiyadi day, which means to remove, and that is with a sin, sum. And the next word is udiyit day, which I'm assuming means to evaluate. I'm making that assumption. I'm not sure, because it doesn't translate over here. There's no second translation in this translation. It means you evaluate. So over here, the Mincha Shai takes note that the Targum, shockingly, which seemed to have had another edition of this text, where the gears is not sum, but shum. And that's why he has this other translation. Look what it's over here in the Targum. The Targum says, the sum derech, three lines from the bottom. Three lines from the bottom of the Mincha Shai is the Mincha Shai is acknowledging that the Targum, the Sefer Miturgamon, that's really the Targum that we have in front of us. The Sefer Miturgamon is obviously the same thing, or at least this is something very similar to the Targum that we have on our page, over here on the page. Because in our page, if you look in the last line of the Targum, in the brackets, it says Nusach Acher, and it says Udiyitz Dei. And the Yitz Dei appears from the context to mean to evaluate, which means that he's translating the word Shom. But what do you mean? The Mincha Shai just went and gave you a number of proofs that that's not the correct pronunciation. The correct pronunciation is this sum. So what in the world is the Targum doing? The Targum, could it really be the Targum out of the wrong text in front of him? Again, we go three lines from the bottom. Shuv motzasi b'sefer miturgamon, shoresh tzin tzadadi, shin tzadadi, I guess that's the word, sada. Isn't that the word over here? That's the shoresh of the word. The shoresh of the word over here is tzadi, Dalid Hey, because the Targum over here is Udi Yitzdei in the Nusach Acher, Visom Derech Arenu. Now you're putting over there with a sin, what, ignore the dot, Targumoy, Uman, Di Yitzdei, Orchavisha, Nire, it appears, Shekora, Visham, Bishin, Yomin, Uva Patach, Al Mishkal, Vesam lorik means to a whole new pshat. We have to know what this word means. Vitzadi vesam lorik koychachem, it will come to an end. It will be complete. Lorik, it will be lorik empty. You will have no strength left. Oh, enochanami, but a tav and a sof. Visam. So there's a sof and a shin phonetically are very similar. Sam and sham. Sam, you know, sham, sham, with a shin, sham, and sam.
Svardi,
you
pronounced
it tough as a
th.
A th.
Yeah.
Some pronounce that as a
the origin
okay.
of the word is a th sound.
But over here, it's incredible what he's saying over here. He's saying over here is that the Targum learned that, that the word means, it means it'll come to an end. The sham derech, which means no longer will you go along an evil path. I mean, it will come to an end, your movement, your what's the good word? It will come to an end, your traveling along this evil path. It's as if the Pasuk said here, with a sof, v'sam derech, a person that brings an end to his corrupt way of life will merit to see the salvation of Hashem. That's what he says over here. In other words, we'll see over here with a lashon v'sham b'shin yomin uv'patach uv'patach al mishkol, similar to the expression v'sam lorik koichachem, lashon, an expression of shemama, coming to an end, desolation. You're going to bring an end to it. Adkan omnam, however, bisvarim shalonu, in our books, it doesn't say the word di yitztei. Okay, now we know that the word di yitztei means to bring to an end. It says miturgum vidi yadi or vidi yadei. Oh, vidi yadei. What does yadei mean? Orcha visha, a person that will yadei. What does it mean? Yadei. Archavisha, I don't know, it says over here, the Adei in the English translation over here that I have, it says, he will remove. He will remove himself from the evil way, and I guess that word would fit a proper translation of the word some. So therefore, what do we take out of this? We take out of this three different possibilities how to read this word. That's to review clearly what we take out of this. The Mincha Shai says, I don't know when anyone here has a problem with this. Everyone should just wake up, smell the coffee. There's only one version. It's a sin, and it's pronounced with a dot on the top left. A sin, simolis, and it's visom derech arenu b'yesha elokim. The translation of the word som is to set. Komatz, som is to set. Derech means the good way. The good way. The derech, the pleasant way. Remember, Abraham Swami speaks, the pleasant way. The good way. It's a good, pleasant derech. A person who puts himself on the good, pleasant, proper derech hayoshar will merit to see Hashem's salvation. But along comes this whole long pilpul. The Gemara makes a drasha. Al tikri v'som ela v'shom. What is shom with a komatz and a shin? It means to make an evaluation. Evaluate your way in life and know what to do. Don't always go and ask questions to the rabbi if today the board of trustees have come to test the rabbi if we should renew his contract. Don't embarrass the rabbi. That's the second. And that is a drash. And that's in the Gemara Masechta Moed Katan. And that's in the Gemara Masechta Soita. And that's in the Medrash. And there it's clear as day when the Gemara makes that drash, it's not, that doesn't mean that's the way, that's not the Peshuta Shel Mikra. Al Tikre, with the draw, don't read it the way it's meant to be read, Som, but read it, Shom. Mm-hmm. It's a drush, but it's not the way it's meant to be spelled. And he says, and therefore I'm 100% right. Don't argue with me. This is what it says in the Mesorah, and this is what it says in Rashi, and this is what it says in the Radak, and this is what it says in all of the Sfarim, the Meduyakim, and Amahunj, and this one's in the Yifei Toya. I don't want to hear otherwise. I got one problem, though. I do know, I'm aware of a Targum that says, translates the word in this Pasuk, the letters Vav, Shin, Mem, as to destroy, Shemama. The word, he translates this word with the word diyitz adei. Diyitz adei means bring an end. A third translation, it doesn't mean set, It doesn't mean evaluate. A new translation. We never heard of this translation. Destroy. The letters Tzadi, Dalit, Hey in Aramaic mean destroy. And the Targum here, where it says Nusach Acher Diyitz Ade, a person who destroys, brings an end to. And in this translation, the Derech is not the pleasant Derech, it's the evil Derech. A person who goes and destroys the evil Derech will merit the salvation of Hashem. What? How could the Targum translate? Either it's going to be Shom, or it's going to be Som. I hold it Som. Maybe you'll tell me a drash that it's Shom. What in the world is the Targum doing? The translation of destruction is not the translation, not of the word Som, and it's not the translation of the word Shom. So he comes here, the Mincha Shayin, says a Dover Nifla. And he says it must be that the Targum in his text and his tradition, none of the above. It's the letters Vav, Shin, Mem, but it's a Shin. It's a Shin. And the vowel is not a Komatz, it's a Patach. Visam. And sometimes in Hebrew we can interchange letters that are phonetically similar, not exact, but similar. And he read the word Visham Derech, similar to what it says in the Torah, Visamlorik. Visamlorik. What does it mean, the Sam? It means it'll come to an end. It will come to an end. And the Pasuk therefore means a person that will put an end to his evil Derech will merit the salvation of Hashem. So Sach HaKol, we have three.
Is he guessing or he's saying?
I don't know. Nireh, he's guessing. He's saying a tremendous chiddush. Nireh, the three lines from the bottom. Nireh, the fact that he translates it with this word to come to an end, Nireh, Shekara v'sham. It's a b'shin yomin uv'patoch and a patach. What does this word mean? And we never heard this word before. Who ever heard of this word before? No, there's a word. It's called Sam with a Suf. But because the letter Suf and the letter Shin are similar, we can interchange one for the other. Uvepatach al Mishkal in the grammatical form or the similar phonetic form. Vesam lori koichachem l'shoin shemama adkan. Aval. But if you look in the Art School edition, that translation, Tzadi, Dalid, is only in the brackets. Nusach Acher. But the primary translation is the word Yadei. And Yadei, I believe, means to remove, which you'll say to me, it's not destruction. It's not really any of the other three either. You're right. But at least it can fit in with the word Sum. Sum means he sets out to remove the Derech. He sets out not to go on that derech. That's because that's what the Targum says. Udiyadei orchavisha. He removes. That's how it translates here in the English translation I have of the Targum online. It's a very good translation. And it writes over here, and whoever will remove the evil way. So I'm assuming from the way the Mincha Shai is explaining that's a correct translation, even if the word would be Som with a sin and a komatz. Amnam b'svarim shalonu b'turgam v'di, a person, ya'adei orchavisha, which conforms with what I am telling you all along, that the correct word should be, the correct pronunciation, and should be v'som, which literally in our English language means to set. And here, in this context of the evil way, it means not to set, basically. We're adding in words that the Targum is, I'm not doing that, the Targum is doing that. A person that makes sure not to set out on an evil way. Make sure there are two paths. Don't set out on the evil path. Go on the correct path. Okay, I find this fascinating. I don't know if everyone shares my same enthusiasm for this thing over here. This is yeah, over here, yeah, over here, a word, and this brings together so many different things. This one little word, it brings together a famous Gemara, in Moed Katan, in Masech the Saita, and the Medrash. It touches upon the checksum in the Mesorah. It brings out the passion of the Mincha Shai that says, I don't know what all these people are talking about. They make mistakes, and they corrupt the text, and they ruin it for everyone. And then, oh, by the way, you know, I got a problem. I do got a problem because there's Taka Targum. And the Targum seems to go against everything that I said. But the Targum is problematic for another reason, because he gives a translation that doesn't fit like according to anyone. And the only solution is this incredible Chiddush, that his version was a Shin Yamin and not a Komatz, a Patach, and that creates a whole new parish in the Pasuk. Okay, this is what we take out of this.
The only problem I have with that whole idea is that the explanation on all these books that write about all the changes that we make in fiction of the spelling of the word, how we pronounce it, is that if you find it's okay with a sin, a sof, and a samach, because what they did was, other than the chumash is sacrosanct, that's the way it is. But in Navi, the way they would transcribe and write it to make it faster, they would have somebody read it to them while they wrote, so they didn't have to look back.
So they made mistakes. There were more mistakes.
The sound is the same, like a vav.
Right. That's why they made mistakes.
And a sof, a samach, and a sin, they could have that mistake.
Exactly.
But not in a shin, and the Gemara even mentions that. But when you have a shin and a sin, that doesn't work. You can't transpose a sin and a shin
because the pronunciation.
Because when the person's reading it, you hear the difference between a shin and a sin. You hear. You can make a mistake that it's a samach or a sof, but not a shin.
But that those people who say eat fish on Shabbos.
Unless you're from Moms.
Sir Hasirim Asher Lislo Lomo.
That's the way he laid that everybody used to make
Sir Hasirim Asher Lislomo.
The first six words are sin.
Right. Okay, let's take a short break.